This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Britton here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Today, we get no disruptions from the Kansas City Royals. We got a lot to get into in today's show. After not scoring a single point in the Western Conference Finals, Christian Brown turned into Scottie Pippen last night in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Had 15 points, 6 rebounds, and he was a major reason of why the Denver Nuggets went up 2-1 in their series against the Miami Heat. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about Dalvin Cook, who got released today from the Minnesota Vikings, and we'll see where he could potentially land. I don't think Kansas City is a destination for him, but he is one of the better running backs in the NFL. We'll talk about him. There's a lot to get into in today's show. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob is here as well. You hear his voice coming up here in just a bit. But before we hear from Rob, let me read to you guys a story from Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. The story goes as follows. Teams who have called about Aroldis Chapman have gotten the impression that Kansas City wants to package Chapman in a deal with Salvador Perez. Now, I don't got to tell you guys the background and history of Salvador Perez. Let's assume that you already know who I'm talking about. The 33-year-old catcher and future Royals Hall of Famer and potential baseball Hall of Famer, he recently signed a contract extension with the Royals in 2021, becoming one of the highest paid players at his position and in Major League Baseball. But because of that contract and his tenure with the Royals, trading him is going to be a little bit tricky. So he is a veteran with 10-5 rights. For those of you that don't know what that means, he has played more than 10 years in the majors and more than 5 with his current team. So that gives Salvador Perez a no trade clause. He can block any trade that the Royals potentially throw at him. But there is a belief amongst Major League Baseball teams that Salvador Perez could be open to a trade. I imagine we will have a lot of time to talk about this between now and the deadline, but let's start the conversation today. I don't know what conversations are being had behind the scenes between Salvador Perez and J.J. Piccolo, between his management and representation and the Kansas City Royals. But if Salvador Perez goes to the Royals and communicates that his time in Kansas City has come to a close and that it is his desire to be traded, in my opinion, the Royals have an obligation to trade Salvador Perez. I believe the Royals sold Salvador Perez on a dream and a hope that many of you also had about the Royals, that the Royals were going to have this thing figured out by 2023. When we were having these conversations in 2016 and 2017, and we were asking, hey, when do you think the Royals are going to be competitive again? A lot of you thought, I thought around this time the Royals would be competitive. Well, they are not competitive. Salvador Perez has done everything I believe that you can do for this organization. He has stayed patient. He has believed. He has been the model citizen. He has been one of the best players in your organization's history. It's over, at least in my mind. But I'm not the one that ultimately can make that decision. It comes down to him, what he wants, what his management wants, what's his representation, what his family wants. But if Salvador Perez is expecting to play another competitive game in a Royals uniform, I'm sad to tell him that will probably not happen. And if you're fine with ending out the rest of your career, you don't want to move, you're happy, you got children, you love the school district that they go to, you don't want to uproot their life, you don't want to be away from them, the Royals are happy to keep you. And you can block any trade that happens. You stay in Kansas City, you live out the rest of your career, you retire with one jersey, one organization, and you go down as one of the most beloved athletes and figures in Kansas City sports history. But if you still have a desire to play in and win competitive baseball games and play in a baseball season that matters, that will not happen in Kansas City. You were lied to. You were misled. Or if you don't want to spin it as lied to or misled, you were sold a false impression. The Royals are not winning this season, and there is nothing that the Royals are doing that would communicate to you that they are close to figuring it out. This isn't a team that's going to win 79 games this year, that's going to be one of the teams that talked about heading in next season as a team that has a little bit of promise. No, the Royals are arguably the worst team in Major League Baseball. So if Salvador Perez wants off the team, to me, the Royals owe it to him. Salvi, we appreciate you. We appreciate everything that you've done for us, everything that you've done for this organization, everything you've done for this city, for this community. If you tell us you want out, we will do everything in our power to make that happen for you. We will work with your agent. We will make sure that any trade we know has to get approved by you, but we want to make sure that we send you to a place that you want to go. Give us a list. You give us a list of three or four teams that make the most sense, and we'll reach out to them and we'll do everything in our power to help you. The same way that we gave you an extension when not a lot of teams would have, when you were severely underpaid and we took care of you, we want to do right by you here. We understand that we're not close to where we want to be, and we want you to go out and still have a chance to play in big baseball games and continue to further a potential Hall of Fame career. And we're unsure if you can continue to do that here in Kansas City. I think J.J. Pecola owes that to Salvador Perez. We'll take you guys' phone calls. We'll read your text, 913-586-7610. But according to The Athletic and Ken Rosenthal, who is as plugged in as anybody in Major League Baseball, teams have been calling about the Royals' pieces. It makes sense. The Royals are going to be sellers here in the next 6 weeks. They've been making calls, and they've gotten the impression that if you want Aroldis Chapman, Salvador Perez is included. Salvador Perez can block any trade that is thrown at him. But if Salvador Perez wants out, the Royals owe him to that to make sure that he lands on his feet well. They are not going to win this season. They're not winning next season. They're probably not going to win in 2025. If I'm Salvador Perez, I don't want to waste the rest of my career. I've been doing this for the last 5 years, and we haven't played in one competitive game. I want another chance to win a World Series. I want another chance to compete at a really high level. Hey, my agent has put these teams together. These are four teams that either I can go be a DH or go catch for them, and I can still have a chance to make the postseason. Can you guys make that happen for me? I think the Royals owe it to them.
On top of that, and I agree with you, the Royals owe it to Salvador Perez. I think that the Royals are going to continue to sell me and sell you and sell the fan base on, hey, we're different. We're not the Dayton Royals anymore. We're going to be more transactional. We're going to be more Rays-like. Guys, we're now doing all the things you've wanted us to do for all these years. We're not going to hold on to players just because, you know, it sells a few more tickets and it shows that we love them and, you know, we get the nostalgia and the glory days. Those were Dayton things. If they want to sell me on truly being transactional and being different, trading Salvador Perez is different. Trading Salvador Perez enhances the farm system. Trading Salvador Perez probably gets you a better haul back than Scott Barlow. Probably gets you a better haul back than if Brad Keller was healthy. Probably gets you a better haul than Aroldis Chapman. The best way to one day be good again is to have a young crop of players coming up that you think can be part of that. And we all love Salvador Perez, but at 33 years old, he is not part of that. So if you're going to sell me on transactional and different, and you want to actually better the club in 24, 25, and 26, it's a harsh reality. But you have to move players you love. You have to make trades that hurt, and Salvador Perez would be the perfect candidate for that.
We'll read your text on this, 913-586-7610. You guys know the rules. If we start the show talking about the Royals, it can only mean one thing. It's been a while. Hit me, Rob.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Today's random Royals lineup, Carrington, comes to you from Salvador Perez's debut in 2011.
It was against the Rays, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, Royals, I remember this.
The Royals lose to the Rays this day after giving up five in the ninth.
Didn't he hit a home run in this game, or he hit one like really early on in his career?
He had a He had one hit today for an RBI, so, I mean, I believe it was a double as well.
Okay.
Here is your Random Royals lineup. Leading off, Alex Gordon. Batting second in center field, Melky Cabrera.
The Milkman.
Batting third, the DH, Billy Butler. Batting fourth at first base, Eric Hosmer. Mm.
This is the foundation of something great. We didn't know it back then, but this is the foundation of something great.
Batting fifth in right field, Jeff Francoeur.
All right, this is where the foundation starts to have a little couple cracks.
Batting sixth, former fan favorite at second base, Johnny Giovitella.
Johnny G. Johnny G might be first team. Well, the Royals didn't really give him a chance. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of fans were saying. Just give him a chance. No team in Major League Baseball really gave him that chance. Remember, he played for the Angels for a hot second, and then he was out the league.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Giovitella probably played less than 150 games.
Let's look at his career page real quick. Johnny Giovitella played in 360 career games.
More than I gave him credit for. My bad, Johnny G. I apologize to you.
Batting seventh was the aforementioned catcher, Salvador Perez. Batting eighth at third base, Mike Moustakas. And batting ninth, the shortstop, Alcides Escobar. The Royals lost this day in 2011, 7-8, giving up 5 runs in the ninth inning. 2 of them were by way of Aaron Crow. The other 3 were Joaquin Soria's fault, as the Royals lost on this day on Salvador Perez's debut in 2011 to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Coming up on the other side, we've got some breaking news that we'll get to. I'll tell you what it is. Come right back. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and friend of the show, Andy Reid.
I can't believe you're waiting that long for that question.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
First to breaking news in Kansas City Sports Radio.
The Kansas City Chiefs have lost Frank Clark. He is signing a free agent contract with the Denver Broncos. Updated from Adam Schefter of ESPN, the Broncos are giving Frank Clark a one-year deal that's worth up to $7.5 million. This deal includes $5.5 million guaranteed in base salary, $1 million in makeable incentives, and another $1 million in challenging incentives. So this is probably a deal that's really worth $6.5 million. Rob, you would have to guess when it says another million in challenging incentives, it's probably team-related stuff. It's probably winning the AFC championship, winning their division, winning the Super Bowl. It's probably tied up into those things. That's just me purely speculating. That's just a guess on my part. But when you say challenging, either you say that Frank Clark needs to get 10 sacks in a game, or you're asking the Broncos to be a really good team this year. I would say both of those are very challenging incentives for him to hit. This shouldn't be a big deal in my mind. Now, I don't know how you guys are going to respond to this for a guy who obviously has meant so much to the Kansas City Chiefs in helping them win 2 Super Bowls. But the Chiefs have had ample opportunity to sign Frank Clark to a deal and have made the decision that they don't want Frank Clark. He was just at the White House with them earlier this week. I'm guessing this deal was in the works, and that Frank Clark's representation and the Chiefs have had enough opportunity to discuss what his client would sign. I think the Chiefs have said, we're good. No thanks. This is business. Like, Frank Clark is allowed to go out and work.
Just because it's not going to work out with the Chiefs doesn't mean that he can't go seek another opportunity. So to me, this is a nothing story. It's not fair to put this in the category of some of the other moves that we've seen. The Chiefs have had months to come to an agreement with Frank Clark, and the Chiefs have told you we're fine. They drafted Felix Onyedike Uzomah in the first round. They went through free agency. They cut him. They couldn't work out a negotiation. I mean, this deal right here, Rob, this is a fair contract. This is a one-year, $5.5 million guaranteed, and you get the opportunity to go earn $2 million more in compensation that can get the deal up to $7.5 million. This is a fair contract for Frank Clark. We're talking about a 30-year-old pass rusher who has shown you that he can be a major producer in the postseason for you. This is what it costs. The Chiefs weren't willing to pay the cost. That's business. I'm not mad at the Chiefs for not bringing back Frank Clark. I'm also not mad at Frank Clark for signing a deal with the opposition. They was willing to pay the price that you weren't willing to pay. This should be a nothing deal. I don't think anybody should feel any way about Frank Clark signing this contract.
I think the Chiefs, with their draft, made it very clear that they're done with Frank Clark. I actually think the Chiefs, the more and more time goes on, are kind of done with pass rusher in general. Like, we might think that they don't have a lot of experience at the position. They don't have a lot of known commodity at the position, but they do have bodies at the position. They have a first-round pick in Felix Onyedike Uzomah. They have George Kolaftis. They have Mike Dana. They have Charles Omenihu. I know it's a, you know, shot-in-the-dark, dart-throw type of player, but they do have B.J. Thompson, the player they added from Stephen F. Austin, who was a transfer from Baylor and has played high-level Power 5 football. So they have a rotation of five pass rushers. They have their grouping. I've thought for a long time maybe a Dunlap or a Clark comes back, but I don't think you need a sixth edge rusher. And if you do, I don't think you anticipate him being much of anything for your roster. So I think the Chiefs, back at Liberty Memorial, made it known that we're done with veteran pass rushers when they drafted Onyedike Uzomah. So good for Frank Clark. Stinks in the division. I imagine the Chiefs will love him forever. You know, he has brought them two championships. Because people of championships, that trade looks like a win forever. Good for him to get paid. But the Chiefs were out of the Frank Clark business the minute they drafted Onyedike Uzomah.
Text line 913-586-7610. I'm upset because it's in the division to the nasty Broncos. This is where I think it's a little bit unfair of fans. If your team doesn't want the player, I then don't think that the team can then create, well, we don't want to sign you, but you also can't sign with X, Y, and Z teams, or we're going to get mad about it. The Chiefs have had the first right of refusal. They've had the first right of refusal. He was under contract. The Chiefs then released him. They then have been talking back and forth. It seems like the relationship is there. The love is there. But we've made a decision as an organization to move in a different direction. And we want to get younger and cheaper at the position. I don't fault the Chiefs for that. Like, this is not me being upset at the Chiefs and not me even being mad that they weren't willing to match this contract. I think it's a reasonable deal. But I also understand from the Chiefs' perspective, I think the Chiefs got tired of paying a premium for a guy that you can only expect about 5 to 6 really productive games for. We're out of that business. We've given you a lot of money over the course of your 4 years in Kansas City, and we don't feel like, at least from a regular season standpoint, we got a great return on that investment. And we're thinking, to your point about them spending the first round pick, the same way that you got a different George Karloftis the second half of the season, I think you expect to get the same thing from Uzomah. Maybe Uzomah's not the best player on your defensive line the first 8 to 10 weeks of the season, but you're not worried about the first 8-10 weeks of the season if you're the Chiefs. You're worried about the last 8 weeks of the season. You expect to be playing in January. You expect to be playing in early February. So if you've got 3 or 4 guys that you think can step their game up and give you valuable production on the back half of the season, I think you feel like you're good. I think both sides are happy today. I think the Chiefs are happy that he got paid and that he landed in a good spot. I think Frank Clark is obviously happy. He got $5.5 guaranteed $1 million in this deal and gets to go to a pretty productive defense and a team that people think could be potentially turning the corner. I think this is a win for everybody. I really don't think there's any reason to feel any kind of way about this. It's not fair to me, to the player, for your team to say no in free agency and then get mad when they sign with another team. I don't care who the other team is. I don't care if it's Cincinnati, Denver, Vegas, whatever. The Chiefs don't want them. If they wanted them, they would have signed them. This isn't a contract that the Chiefs couldn't have matched. Like, I'm seeing a text on the text line. Text line 913-586-7610. Kansas City not making these signings is why they won two Super Bowls under Veach. It's a $5.5 million deal. That's what it is. It's a $5.5 million deal for one of the most important positions on the team. I don't think this signing is indicative of that. This is not an overpay on either side. You know, I've not been shy about saying when the Chiefs have overpaid for Frank Clark, because they certainly have paid a tremendous points on the package. This is what Frank Clark is worth. If you're not willing to pay what the player is worth, you don't want him that bad.
I would also think, if you're the type of fan who thinks, hey, Frank Clark is a part-time player, he's playoffs only, he does not show up in the regular season, which I think are all fair comments, by the way, about Frank Clark, then even though $5.5 million is the opposite of prohibitive, I think the Chiefs fans need to look at this not as, uh-oh, the Broncos are taking one of our own. They need to look at this as, oh, well, the Chiefs got out of the Frank Clark business at just the right time. They got the most out of him in 19 and 20. Did he live up to his contract? No. But they got the most out of him at the right time. They renegotiated. They got the maximum value, and they're walking away at just the right time. I don't think this is the Broncos getting over on the Chiefs. I don't think this is the Chiefs getting over on the Broncos. I just think the Chiefs feel like they can get younger and cheaper at the position and get the same level of whatever, because Frank Clark, for all his flaws, is in fact a part-time player. He doesn't play in the regular season.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, you have to remember this is $5.5 million that the Chiefs don't have. If the Chiefs wanted to get this small of an amount of money, they could have got it. Let's not let the Chiefs off the hook here for this part. The Chiefs did not want Frank Clark back on this team. They did not want him on the team anymore. $5.5 million to move a little bit of that around is not hurting your present. It is not hurting your future. This is not trying to make room for $18 million of DeAndre Hopkins. You're going to have $5.5 million we expect if you extend Snead or Chris Jones. If you really wanted Frank Clark, when you were just sitting there in the Oval Office, hey, big guy, we're going to make this happen for you. You know we want you here back in Kansas City. This is the plan. We're working on getting a contract extension for Chris Jones, which is going to free up this space. We're not going to announce it publicly. You keep things low-key. We'll keep things low-key, and we will find a way. You have my word. We will find a way to get you on this team. What do you want? Okay, this is what you want. We'll make this happen. Give us 6 weeks. We are negotiating these deals. When it's done, we got you. Stay in shape. We'll stay in contact. You've been working with him and his agent this entire time. You just negotiated a restructure with them last year at this time. You don't want him on the team anymore. You had a chance to restructure when he was on the team. He didn't restructure. He has been a free agent all through free agency after the draft. At some point, you've made a decision. You don't want him. And that's fine. That's good. Move forward. You spent two first-round picks on defensive linemen. You just picked up Charles Omenihu. You just drafted B.J. Thompson. You've made your decision as an organization. We appreciate everything that you have done, but your time has now come to a close here in Kansas City. If you missed it, the breaking news is that Frank Clark is signed with the Denver Broncos. He has signed a one-year, $5.5 million contract. He has $1 million in, they say, reachable incentives that I'm going to guess are, we'll find out. It's, hey, can you get to 5 sacks this year? Can you play in X percentage of snaps? And we'll make a deal work for you. That's what I'm going to guess. And then it says $1 million in a lot harder incentives to be reached. So I'm just going to guess that those are pretty unrealistic individual goals and also team goals that the Broncos will probably not hit. I could be off, but just the way that it is worded by Adam Schefter makes me think that. The way that it is worded makes me think that that's the way that this deal is going to go. It's $1 million in X, Y, and Z, and then it is another $1 million, and I would say pretty difficult team goals that the Broncos will have to hit, but are probably not likely to go out and hit it. So Frank Clark, no longer a member of the Chiefs. He is now a member of the Broncos. But boy, do we have some memories.
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead. don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They don't take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs Kingdom and got their ass stumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I don't know what the bank. I told him all holler at me. I told him last year they ain't get my best. I told him this year they barely got my best. I told him with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game. Let's go.
Playing the 49ers, we're in the area. We just lost last week. So if we had any type of nuts, we go out there and get the job done. And then that's what happened. We beat their ass in their stadium. They talked all that shit, and you see what happened. You know, we still stepping on them. 2 years later, I think it is. Yeah. So you know how I'm going to end it.
That was Frank Clark. And some media cuts that he has had over the course of his time here in Kansas City. But nothing will ever top this.
Past two games, he's gained 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we weren't going to win the game. We let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sending this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media said,
they must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that KC. That KC. Ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, that's no change. Look at that. We're the best.
Go join.
That was Frank Clark after the AFC Championship win against the Tennessee Titans. The Chiefs are going to their first Super Bowl in a long time. We'll continue to read your text on this, 913-586-7610. Frank Clark has signed a free agent deal with the Denver Broncos. We'll also talk about Christian Brown, who turned into Scottie Pippen yesterday in the NBA Finals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Rob, really quick question. Juvenile, the rapper, he has signed up to do a Tiny Desk. A lot of people are very excited about this.
I hate to interrupt. Real quick. What is Juvenile and what is the second thing you said?
Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
Yesterday, we saw Christian Brown play as well as I've maybe ever seen him play. And that includes at Kansas. Christian Brown has not been playing well so far this postseason. It's understandable. He's a rookie. It's his first postseason. It's not a knock on the young guy, just an observation watching all of these games. And then yesterday, something magical happened. Christian Brown at times was unguardable last night. And I mean going at guys. There were multiple times in the game in which he is being guarded by Jimmy Butler and just has absolutely no regard for who's on him. Just, you can't defend me today. He was incredible yesterday. I mean, that's really the only way to put it. He was incredible yesterday. Rob, he played 19 minutes, was 7 of 8 from the field, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He was the third leading scorer on the team yesterday behind Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. He was the 5th highest scoring player in the game behind Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and the two guys that I just mentioned. I know Nikola Jokic said we won this game because of Christian Brown. I'm not ready to take it to that point because Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray both had 30-point triple-doubles. No, you won because you have the best player in the world on your team. But Christian Brown was such a difference maker in yesterday's game. One thing that I hope is the lasting impression of this year's NBA playoffs, and some of you don't care about this, some of you do. We are out of the era of trying to build the best starting five that you possibly can. You obviously want a great starting five. You got to be 8 deep in order to win at a high level. Yesterday, the entire Denver bench was one person. A guy who scored 0 points in the entire Western Conference Finals. But Christian Brown, a high-level college basketball player, an all-time Kansas high school basketball player, the moment's not too big. We've seen that from Christian time and time again. He had 15 points. Rob, the other members of their entire bench had 9. I am the bench scoring. He almost outscored the Heat bench by himself yesterday. Christian Brown was a major difference maker and was the X factor in an NBA playoff game last night. 7 of 8 from the field. Rob, they didn't have an answer for him. He got that early back cut dunk from Jokic. He then got another dunk, and you could see his confidence building. He was taking shots that he has not taken in the NBA. He took these shots at college because I know I'm the best player on the floor. It was like he went back to last year's Final Four in his mind. Once he saw the ball go through the rim a couple of times yesterday, all of that Christian Brown swagger that we saw at Kansas came back last night, and he was the difference in the NBA Finals game.
You know what I was thinking as I was watching Christian Brown play incredible basketball? My timeline started filling up with a lot of KU fans, a lot of KU media types, a lot of KU personalities, you know, puffing their chest out, thumping their chest with a lot of heart swelled with pride because I was on this show, you were on this show, and you were wondering, why don't KU fans love Joel Embiid? Why isn't he one of your own? He's about to win MVP, and I don't see social media abuzz when he's out there hooping for the 76ers. Well, last night in the biggest sitting you could possibly have in basketball, Christian Brown was hooping, and people went out of their way, at least on my social media, to take that moment to say rock chalk, to remember CB for last year, to do all the things you wanted them to do with Joel Embiid. Did your social media look like mine? And did you notice KU fans puffing their chest out because Christian Brown was cooking in game 3?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference, and we talked about it with Joel Embiid. KU fans don't feel like Joel Embiid is theirs. Certainly not in the way that you feel with Christian Brown. Christian Brown graduated from Blue Valley Northwest. Like, some of the students at Kansas went to high school with Christian Brown. He was born in Burlington, Kansas. He won a championship at the University of Kansas. Like, he is yours through and through. If you are around basketball really at any capacity in Kansas City, like, you have seen Christian Brown out and about and around. Like, he is one of yours. I don't think KU fans feel that way about Embiid. So I do think there was a different measure of pride that you felt watching him have success on that level, especially when it was so unsuspecting. Again, Rob, he did not score a single point in the Western Conference Finals and was a major difference maker in the NBA Finals. Like, that game was close until Christian Brown happened. With as great as Jokic was, with as great as Murray was, that was a one-score, one-possession game back and forth for most of the night until Christian Brown happened. He created the distance in the game and led to the blowout yesterday. Led to the blowout. Now, someone just texted in, Rob, it isn't just KU fan. He's from Kansas City. I'm a Mizzou fan, and I rep that dude. He's a KC kid.
Mizzou fans repping that kid?
No, hold on. I don't claim that dude. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me hit the breaking news center. Mizzou fans claim Christian Brown?
I do not claim Christian Brown in any capacity. I'm happy for him. Don't get me wrong. Salute to you. That's perfectly fine. I don't claim Christian Brown in any capacity. Christian Brown is from Burlington, Kansas, went to Blue Valley Northwest. Missouri recruited him, and he had no interest in even listening to Missouri. No, I do not claim him. Y'all can claim him. That's cool. If y'all want to take the win, y'all can take the win. That's cool. I don't want the win. No, I don't want it. No, y'all got it. That's y'all's. Y'all can have that. We don't got to share everything. You know, we don't got to share everything.
Man, it's hard times.
Believe me, Christian Brown is not repping us in no capacity. So, no, I'm okay. No, y'all got it. I don't want it. You got it. I'm okay.
Must be hard times for Mizzou fans watching their true son, Michael Porter, stink right now Christian Brown terrible. Take over.
He's been terrible. Someone on the text line says, Cita, how come you're not talking about how Michael Porter Jr., he's been terrible. Michael Porter is simple. Are you making or missing shots? He's missing shots right now. Michael Porter is shooting 25% in this series. They basically took him out in the second half for Christian Brown. They took him out. Porter starts and played 19 minutes. Christian Brown played 19 minutes yesterday. All those minutes that Christian Brown got were Michael Porter's minutes. It's the NBA Finals. Michael Porter is 3-4 his last 15 shots in this series and one of his last 8 from 3. And, I mean, he can rebound. He's 6'11". He can rebound, but he ain't doing nothing else. If you ain't knocking down shots, there's really not a room for you on the floor. So there ain't really nothing to talk about. He's been terrible. What do you want me to say? Look at the numbers. Watch the game. He ain't been good. There ain't nothing to talk about with Michael Porter Jr. The story is Christian Brown and him hooping yesterday and him being the difference in an NBA Finals game. He was amazing yesterday. I can't even hate on it. He was amazing yesterday.
I mean, it feels right to have you talking basketball on this show and having to go out of your way to compliment a Kansas Jayhawk. That's just how this show should work. When we speak about hoop, we compliment Kansas. That's just the new, you know what, we have a couple rules in the show. Let's add that one right into the fold.
No, Rob, you know my saying, a hater is somebody who is incapable of giving credit when credit is due. I wouldn't consider myself to be a Christian Brown fan. In fact, he is one of my least favorite KU players that they've had.
Wait, what? Why? What did Christian Brown do that make you hate him?
His dad went to Mizzou. His mom went to Mizzou. He had no interest even listening to Missouri. Like, not even a single interest. Like, not a small one in listening to Missouri. His brother then went to Mizzou. I don't like him. That's okay. I don't got to like every player. I don't like him. But I can give credit for when you was out there balling yesterday and you 7 for 8 from the field and Jimmy Butler is guarding you and you chest up with Jimmy Butler and score on him and start laughing in his face. Yo, I got respect for that. I'm not a hater that much. I don't got to like the guy to acknowledge, yo, you was balling yesterday. It's perfectly fine with me. Can I read to you a story really quickly?
Please do.
So, you know, we've been talking a lot about the LIV golf stuff, right? And, you know, Saudi Arabia and all that. We don't got to get back into it. At this point, my stance is pretty much out there. So they asked the WNBA commissioner about this. Hey, what do you think? You know, what's your opinion? How do you feel? Well, the WNBA commissioner said that the WNBA would be interested in hosting a game in Saudi Arabia if the opportunity arose. Well, let's go ahead and get a couple things out of the way. I don't think they're interested in women's basketball. I could be wrong. I've never been there before. I'm just going to go out on a limb with everything that I've read that Saudi Arabia is not super interested in American professional women's basketball. I'm just going to go out on that limb, that hot take here on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, also the Odyssey app, that they do not want it. That's number one. Number two, that money got y'all all acting incredibly funny. Rob, this is the commissioner of the WNBA. Sure, we'll play a game in Saudi Arabia. You ain't got Google? Come on now. The WNBA is as social conscious as any league in America. And now, yeah, you know what? I mean, if they came to us asking if we wanted to play a game, we'll play a game there. Why? This Saudi Arabia money got all of these commissioners and leagues acting funny. And some of you guys are thinking, what does it matter? We don't care. All right. Whenever the next NFL team comes up, and Saudi Arabia wants to buy it, we'll see. When they play Thursday night football in Saudi Arabia, we'll see. Because that's clearly coming. Golf was just willing to do whatever. The WNBA is like, yeah, we'll play over there. You know the NFL is coming next. Albert Breer said so. Said that they are interested in buying it. And you know, it don't take much to get the owners on board with anything, especially if the paper is right. Oh, especially if that money's right. They is waiting for the right opportunity. We don't want the Commanders. They stink. We don't want them. They is waiting for the right team to come in, and they have to buy. About to buy the Chiefs. Have the best team. I can't believe this woman said that, Rob.
I'm like legitimately stunned by that comment. Like, the 9/11 connection is the main reason why, you know, leagues and stuff are hesitant to embrace the Saudi Arabian money. The second reason is their track record with human rights. Do we think the WNBA, which is pretty much on the forefront of women's rights and human rights in America, is going to say, we're going to put our product in Saudi Arabia? Can you imagine Sue Bird and Brittany Griner hooping in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? No. What? First off, this was the easiest question of all time, WNBA commissioner. Take the win, slap down the idea, come out strong anti-Saudi Arabia, and you're a story today. Instead, you did it wrong.
This is the thing, though. I don't want to give the WNBA commissioner too much bail here because I think the money got you acting a little funny here. I don't know if there's any reason to come out really for or against it. That's not something we're considering at the time, but you never know. That's all you got to say. The reason I think the PGA Tour is getting crushed to the extent that they're getting crushed is you came out as Captain America against it. You came out like Hacksaw Jim Duggan waving the American flag, born in the USA about it. You can't do all that and now make a deal with them. You could have just played it down the middle. You could have just played it straight. And you wouldn't be looking goofy right now. So I don't think there's any reason one way. Like the NFL, they're going to be smart about this. The NFL ain't going to say nothing, period. We're keeping it to ourselves. We know the NFL will do anything for a dollar. It don't take much for them to move for the dollar. They don't care if we like it or not. But one thing they never do, they never really commit to anything. They don't commit to nothing. It's not something we're considering at this time. We'll keep our options open. No one can ever get mad at that answer. No one will ever get mad at we'll see. No one even knows what we'll see means, but we'll see. That's not something that's on the table right now, but who knows what the future will hold. That's how whenever Goodell, because at some point Goodell will have to answer for this. You saw what happened in the PGA Tour. You guys have more and more of an international mission. Is it a possibility that you will play a football game in Saudi Arabia? And he will hotline bling dance out of that question, and he will give a non-very political answer that keeps everybody, that covers everybody's behind.
If you want to see Roger Goodell Michael Jackson moonwalk, the next time he's available, which he's not really available to the media all that much, which is also a good job by the league. He doesn't talk to us all that often. Like, for as much money as he makes and as much of a public face he is, he doesn't have many press conferences. He kind of just does his state of the NFL for 20 minutes at the Super Bowl and then kind of just vanishes out of existence. But I digress. Watch him moonwalk out of a question. Ask him if you'd be open to, you know, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia buying in and owning a part of an NFL team. Watch him back up. I don't know. Don't to say. That's when he's going to be the moonwalking. That's when he's going to hotline bling dance out of there. When he gets asked that question, that's the one that gets him in hot water.
Text line 913-586-7610. If I was giving Brittany Griner any advice, I would advise her to stay stateside. Yeah, I don't think Brittany Griner is going out of the country anymore, even for vacation anymore. If I'm Brittany Griner, all the vacation spots that I'm choosing, they need to be in America somewhere. Hey, babe, I want to get away to the beach. Oh, well, Hawaii got beaches. Puerto Rico got beaches. That's where we're going. I'm never going out of the country again if I'm Brittany Griner under really no circumstances. Like, under none. I'm okay.
Hey, you want to go on a honeymoon in the Caribbean?
Nope. I wouldn't even go on a cruise if I'm Brittany Griner. I wouldn't even go on a cruise. No thanks. I'm okay. Oh, well, let's go down to the beach somewhere. Hey, Florida got beaches. They got them. No. She will never see Italy. Like, never again. No. That time of my life has passed. It has absolutely passed. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will head to Minneapolis. We'll be joined by Henry Lake. We'll talk a little Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook was released by the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see where Dalvin Cook could potentially land. Is this basically a Dolphins of the field? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like this is going to be a lot of nothing. This is going to be my guess, Rob. We get a story here in the next couple of days about teams that are really interested in Dalvin Cook. He takes one meeting with somebody else. Like, you got to build a little bit of suspense. You know, it's the offseason. You got to create content. You know, Goodell's probably even calling his agent saying, hey, wait. We know you might already have a deal with the Dolphins done, but just give us a week. Give us a week of new things to talk about. And then you can make your announcement. This feels like a June 17th announcement that Dalvin Cook is the newest member of the Miami Dolphins. There's just way too much smoke in one direction for me to think that he's going anywhere else.
Have you seen his Instagram story today? If you haven't. It is a photo of him dancing in celebration on the field of the Dolphin Stadium as a member of the Vikings. And people, because this is what we do in June, on June 8th, we connect dots. Of all the photos he could have posted on Instagram, he chose the one of him in Miami celebrating his release from the Vikings. Yeah. If this was DraftKings or FanDuel or wherever you do your betting, the overwhelming favorite would be the Miami Dolphins. I don't know another team is even getting, you know, every other team is getting plus money. So, yes, the Dolphins are the overwhelming favorite. I assume it's Monday when we get the news story. You know, the bum, 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 he's a Dolphin.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Henry Lake in Minneapolis. We'll get his thoughts on Dalvin Cook, where he could potentially land. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.